As we said before, welcome to Hallmark. We are glad that you are all here to celebrate what God has been doing in the lives of our students and our kids, but then also as we prepare for what this school year has to bring. My name is Carlos. I get the opportunity and the privilege to be the student pastor here at Hallmark, and I'll be honest with you, I had not seen that video, and I'm not an emotional person, but just the fact that I got to see some of these students at work doing some of the things that they love to do, it's just cool. So with that being said, to know that you guys have played a major role in that, I've worked at three different churches, and by far, you guys have been one of the biggest blessings to any student ministry. Even as Pastor Matt mentioned this morning in our morning rally, that he got to have lunch with a former student who he discipled in the student ministry. And as God worked in his life, he surrendered to ministry. He was working as a pastor at a church and is now leading his own church, a church in Granbury. Just to see that this is not something new. You guys that have been here, whether it's been the last 6 years that I've been here or 20, 30, 40 years plus, you guys have been a true blessing. So thank you. Thank you for how you've prayed for our next generation. Thank you for how you've been a part and walked alongside some of our students through their good times and bad times. Thank you for supporting them financially. Every year I'm blown away by our dessert auction. And so because of you, I just want to thank you, because of you, we were able to raise $16,000 during the dessert auction to help students go to camp and experience God for the very first time for some of them. We were able to take 79 students, 17 leaders, all because of you. And all of that led to 4 students giving their life to Jesus. Give it up for that. We also had 9 students accept and obey the call to ministry in their life as well. So give it up for that. And I just wanted to take some time because I know the summer goes by real quick, and this is what I get to do for a living, which is awesome. But I couldn't do what I do without my team. And so I wanted to ask, if you are in our student ministry team, or if you went to camp with us this year, would you guys just stand up? I know, I didn't ask you to do this. Can you guys give it up for them? Honestly, we couldn't do what we do without them. And so I'm super grateful and thankful for them. But I can talk all day long about what God is doing in our student ministry, but I wanted to give them an opportunity to share with you what you guys have done to invest in their life. So I'm going to call our first one, Caden Graham. Give it up for Caden.
So I was just going to come up here and share a little bit of my testimony from camp and a little before. For like the past 3 years, I've been going to church camp. They have really impacted me. I'd say 2 years ago was the one that really set me across my path to like follow and like go out and like tell others about Jesus, because I just realized if it affected me that much, I can't like just hold other people back from not knowing what that amazing feeling is inside their body. And like it makes you feel more alive once you realize that God is in you and like living the life for you in the like way he wants you to. And I'd say the 2 years ago at camp, I got like a really bad headache, and So I told Blaine, and Blaine took me out of there because the like bass was like really shaking me. And so he asked me what has affected me, and it was this verse, Romans 1, 1 through 5. It says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach the good news. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. The good news is about his son in his earliest life. He is born into a king, David's family line, and he is shown to be the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority of the apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere and what God has done for them, so that we will believe in him and obey, bringing glory to his name." And that's basically what I was just talking about, how you can't just let other people's walk and live their life without knowing God, because if you just let that happen, it will like kind of rest on your consciousness and realize once you go to heaven, you don't see them there, you'll be like kind of, I feel like I'd be disappointed. So basically that's my testimony and what God has put on my heart for the past 3 years.
Good morning, church. I'm going to give the second testimony on camp. My name is Caden Bacon, if you don't know. Nice to meet you. Camp was great. As Carlos said, we had four students give their life to Christ. We had nine students come to, or be called to some form of ministry. And the theme of camp was revival. It was my last ever camp. And I, of course, growing up, wanted to see revival. I wanted to see change in myself, in my school, like the people around me, my community, even my nation, like America. But I wasn't even praying every day. I was in my Bible like two, maybe three times a week, and two of those three times were church. I wanted God to use me in big ways, but I wasn't even seeking after him. I was focused on myself, my regrets, my sin. I was focused on the people around me and what they thought. Basically, I was focused on the world instead of the God who created it. I wanted to see some sort of revival in myself or in those around me without even being a good representation of Jesus to the people closest to me, to my friends and my family. And this was all a result of the fact that I wanted to live for God, but I was still holding on to things. But that's not the point of the gospel. And I think that's what God is trying to tell me, not just through camp, but just through this year in general. And I want to quickly read this piece of scripture that's really been on my heart for the past couple of months. It's John 12:24. It's Jesus speaking. And he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus died for sin once and for all. And if I want to see a true change in myself and in those around me in my community, it starts with me dying to my old self, giving everything to Jesus, and living completely for God.
Good morning. I don't even know how I can follow that up. That was really good. So I'm Rianne, and I am really lucky that Carlos asked me to come up here and talk about camp. So I've only been going to church since about March. And so when I went to camp, my goal was just to grow my relationship with Christ and just, sorry, I'm like, whew, okay. So this is my first year I've ever gotten to go to church camp. And I really had no clue what to expect. And sadly, I only got to go for 3 of the 4 days, but I truly feel like those 3 days were the most, like, important 3 days so far in my journey. And I just remember, so there's one like, core memory that I have from camp, and it was my last night of worship. We're sitting there, and we're just singing, and we were singing Great Are You, Lord. And it's still one of my favorite worship songs, if not my favorite. And I just, like, I kind of have a lot of anxiety. And so I'm always, like, so scared to be one of those people who, like, put their hands up or just, like, close their eyes and get into the music. But something just spoke to me that night. And I was just around some of my closest friends. And I just felt comfortable to just sing my heart out. And I just remember at one point just closing my eyes and I'm singing my heart out. And I'm just feeling all the music. And I just stop for a second. I just hear, it was the acoustic night. I just stop and I hear all my friends around me singing. And it's truly just such like a core memory to me. It's like, every time I think about it, I just kind of cry a little bit, because it's just like all those wonderful people around me just worshiping and reminding me of why I'm going through this journey and why I'm trying to grow my relationship with God. And I really feel like camp just showed me even more how important friends who are in the Word with you and friends who spend every single day reminding you of God's love are. My closest friends, I truly feel like, are the people I've met in youth in the past 4 or 5 months, and I'm so beyond grateful for that. So I am so, so grateful I got to go to camp this year, and I'm so grateful that all of you allowed me to do that. So thank you.
Dang. That's a lot of people, bro. What you call it? My name is Isaac Hernandez. I'm 16, and this year was my first year ever at camp. This is like my first year ever at church too, man. Like, I've never been so involved in something that, I don't know, it just makes me want to get up every day, early every day, and do something, you know? But I think one thing that stood out to me was my youth pastor, Richie. He, when he was, like, teaching us, he told us, like, if you need anything, if you need a prayer, like, let me know, and we'll go outside, or I'll talk to you one-on-one. So I had asked him, because I had been going through some things. Man, we stood out there for, like, 45 minutes. I'm getting tore by mosquitoes, but... Dang, like, he helped me in so many ways. Like, he doesn't even know me, and he sits out there for 45 minutes and just prays with me and guides me through stuff I'm going through, because I have so much built-up hate for a single person, and he just helps me let that all go. And I just think, like, if he could do that for me, then maybe I could go out there and do that for someone else. So I really just wanted, that's what I want to do. And another thing, one night the pastor was talking about no sin is a small sin. And I just really thought about that, because, like, the biggest sin I deal with is lust. Like, I go out there, I see a woman, man. And dang. It's like in the mind, it's a man's mind. But... I kind of, like, think about that all day. Like, how am I going to avoid this? But I don't think about the other sins I'm committing, you know? Like, man, I'm cussing every day. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm hanging with the wrong crowd. You know, doing things I'm not supposed to do, being laid out at night. Like, I don't know. But I don't know. It just really brought to me, like, you can't do it by yourself, man. You can't do nothing by yourself. You gotta give it all to God, man. But that's really all I want to say. And thank y'all. Thank y'all.
Man, he wasn't kidding. There's a lot of people. For y'all, for those of y'all who do not know me, I am Kenneth Hess.
Yeah.
So really, we're moving on to the Guatemala part of summer, but I just really want to thank Hallmark Church for allowing us to go there. And just, Carlos, thank you so much. It's been a real blessing. And also, Chad and Stephanie Morin, thank y'all so much for giving me and Carlos your business priority plane ticket. First time flying, got to fly first class, baby. So honestly, when I was first thinking of going on this mission trip, I didn't really know what to think. I honestly just heard mission's really important, and I was just like, you know what, why not? Last year, let's do it. Carlos said, go over the lesson. I think we were over Daniel 1, and also learn some Spanish. I did none of that. So that was kind of a hard thing to do because first day I realized, yep, no one speaks English here, and I'm going to have to download Duolingo. But one of the most amazing things, at least on the mission trip, there were so many just great things that happened, but it was, bless you, was the home visits. Being able to see where these people live and just in the hard environment they get to live in is just very sad and very depressing in my mind. But it was so amazing how we were able to just provide food for them and just being able to pray for them. I remember one family in general, it was, I can't remember their name, but they were going through a hard time, and they actually had to call their pastor the morning we were about to go over there and do what we've been doing, going to feeding centers. And she actually had to call her pastor and tell her, we have no food. I just want y'all to think about that for a second. Imagine calling Pastor Haley and saying, Pastor Haley, we have no food. That was just such a hard thing to hear. But just being able to pray for him and, again, just provide that food was just a true blessing. It was just amazing. But really, it was also just being able to hang out with my friends, Zach, Diego, Bacon, just being able to every night dig into the Word with them and just being able to go over our devotional was just truly amazing just to see what they're doing and doing in their lives and just being able to see all our my friends' work over there, and just it was truly amazing. And finally, I want to encourage just any of y'all who have ever just thought of going on a mission trip, whether you think it's fun, whether you're scared, I would encourage y'all to do it. It is truly unexplainable, but it is just an amazing thing that you'll ever get to do. That's it.
Hello, my name is Zach, and I was blessed with the opportunity to go on the mission trip. First, I want to thank everybody who supported me, who donated and prayed for me. Second, I want to thank Carlos and Andrew even, because they really set this all up and really made it a great trip. First thing I want to say is when we were going, three of the days we went to feeding centers. And almost every time, Andrew would kind of give us a talk about like why we're going here, why it's there, and how it got started. And one time, he was talking about how it just started as a little church, and some guy walked up and kind of liked what they were doing in the community, and he offered them a building to stay in. And that kind of just caught me, because it's all about planting that seed. You know, you go and you talk to your friend, and you tell him about Jesus, and let's just say that another one of his friends come up that same week and tell him about Jesus, that will have an effect in his life, because he's like, two people have brought up Jesus in the same week. And so it's just very important to kind of plant that seed. The second thing I want to talk about is we were at one of the feeding centers, and each time we kind of brought gifts for him. And one time, one of the gifts was socks. And I know, me personally, every Christmas when I get socks, I'm not happy. It's my least favorite part. But all those kids, they were just super excited to get those socks. And it kind of affected me, because they're so thankful for something that is so little to me. And that I was kind of thinking, and it just showed me that really the true way to happiness is to be thankful for everything God gives you. God gives us the breath that we breathe, and he gives us every day on this earth, and we just need to be thankful for every day. That's all.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Campbell Morton, and I made it to senior year of high school. Thank you, thank you. All right. I had the blessing this year of going on the mission trip with both the team and my whole family, and I just enjoyed traveling with them. One experience that resonated with me was when we went to the beach. And this was not what you think of when you think, we're going to the beach. No. We served in a remote village over 2 hours away. And all the sand was black, so it was heating up real fast, and it made everything more humid, and it was just really hot the whole day. And so it's by the sea, so they're all fishermen in this village, and that's their main source of income. And it's hard to believe in a savior when you're worried about where your next meal is going to come from, and hopefully it's not fish every time. But the feeding center there was run by a family, and they had gone through some deep struggles, and we're still going through some. But they have seen God work in their lives so many times that they were willing to keep obeying him. Specifically, they, for me, what stood out. So this was the ocean. This was the end of the continent. The rest was water. And this one family sharing the gospel in this tiny little village was obeying the command that Jesus gave us in Acts 1:8 to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. This village was the end of the earth for the Guatemalans, guys. Yeah, that was really encouraging for me, but it was also very convicting, because if these people can be missionaries across the world to some desolate place where they know nobody, I should be able to be a visible light for Christ in my community, which I'm very comfortable in. I just need to be willing to let God work through me, which it is a decision. God just doesn't like, okay, you're my servant now. You have to like decide to commit your life to Christ. And that is really hard, and I'm still working on it. But that is how my eyes were opened in Guatemala this year, and I hope y'all can celebrate that today with me.
Thanks, Joy. As we continue, or before we continue, would you just pray with me? Father, thank you for today and just giving us the opportunity to just celebrate you, Father, through the lives of our students, through the lives of many people that have dedicated, sacrificed, gave, knowing that you were going to be at work this summer. And we just thank you for that. But the beautiful thing is you're not a God that is done with us. Father, we get to celebrate of what's about to come. And so, Father, as we head into the new school year, as we head into the end of 2024, Father, help us to be used by you. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Appreciated that. Campbell said something at the end, which kind of just resonates with what we're going to be talking about today. And I know Miss Allison mentioned kind of the routine of the new school year and how some of us live for routine, myself included. And so as we begin this new school year, just some of the expectations that people have, right? Like for a student, like we all have the intention or the dream of passing all our classes or getting all A's. We have all this expectation of what's to happen, even as parents, right? Like we think our kids are going to wake up right on time. They're going to wake up early and smiling faces. And thank you, Mother. Thank you, Dad, for waking me up. We have all these expectations, and they just don't happen, right? We hit the first day or maybe even the first week, and we're like, all right, well, there goes that, right? We'll start back up next week. And so these expectations that we have in the passage that we're going to be looking at is Jesus kind of one of his last few sermons or words that he has for us, and he kind of sets expectations for us. So if you guys have your Bibles, you guys can turn to Matthew 25. And as you guys are turning there, Matthew 25, verse 14, if you have your Bibles, your app, if you don't, we'll have the verses up on the screen. But what I love about this is Jesus kind of, he knows that these are his final moments. And if you look at verse 25, chapter 25, he's been teaching, he's been preaching for quite a while, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to be like Jesus today. So in that sense, I'm going to make this short and sweet. But verse 14, he kind of tells the people expectations of what's to come. Verse 14, it says, "For it is, it being the kingdom of God, just like a man about to go on a journey. He called his own servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, depending on each one's ability. When he went on a journey, immediately the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. That's a great financial advisor right there, okay? In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The man with the one that had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, 'Master, you gave me 5 talents. See, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.' The man with 2 talents also approached. He said, 'Master, you gave me 2 talents. See, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy.' Then the man who had received 1 talent. If we're watching the movie, this is where like the soundtrack would change, right? Somebody would hit the DJ booth, right? Because here comes Mr. One Bag, right? Brother One Bag here comes and says, "The man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, 'Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' His master replied, 'You evil, lazy servant. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gathered where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and I would have received my money back with interest when I return. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who has not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good for nothing servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Quickly, I just want to just highlight 3 things from this passage. I think the first thing that we need to see in this passage is that we have a wise giver. I love the fact that the master, or God, gave, as verse 15 says, according to his being the servant's ability. Now, I think it's important to know that, I think sometimes it's good to know that you're not going to be judged off someone else's scorecard. You're not going to be judged by what somebody else has. You're going to be judged by what you have, what you've been given. But I think sometimes we look at what we have and we go, well, I might have gotten the short end of the stick on this one, right? Like I didn't get 5 talents. I didn't get 5. I just got 1. Or maybe you got the 2 and you're like, well, at least I didn't get 1, right? You look at all this and you start comparing, but ultimately it says that it was given based off the servant's ability. So I want you to know that God has given you and will give you based on your ability, based on how you live your life, based on what you do, based on what's been given to you. I think sometimes God gives us and we just go, well, that's it. I don't have to work at it. I don't have to do anything. I appreciate, and I'm going to boast on him a little bit, but Isaac mentioned Richie. One of the things that I love about Richie is he knows that God has called him into ministry. But it would be really easy for him to go, God, pull up a chair, bring me a job. Lord, I'm surrendering to ministry. Give me a job and I'll go do it. No. This man works overnight to provide for his family. Comes and teaches on Wednesday nights. Comes and meets with me Wednesday afternoons, Thursday mornings. Because he knows before I get all of this, before I'm used, I also need to be used right now, today. And I know many of you are sitting going, God, use me. But sometimes God wants to give you a ministry fair and you're like, nah, not like that. Nah, that's not the platform or the stage I was looking for. He's like, no, just here's an opportunity or 8 different opportunities for you to look at. One of them's bound to fit, right? And if it's not there, guess what? We can start a new ministry. So again, we sit back and go, give me those opportunities. But God is a wise giver. But not only is he a wise giver, we're told to be smart stewards. That whatever God's given us, we now have to put it to use. We don't just look around and go, well, I'm just a one talent servant. God must not believe in me. Start looking at other people's bags. Dang, 5 talents. I think sometimes we play that comparison game too many times. You look at someone else's bag and you go, God, how come you didn't bless me with those talents? But I started looking at this, and a talent is a measure of weight. And back then, a talent, if you were to put it into silver coinage, would be equivalent to 6,000 denarii. And if you were to translate that, that would be about 6,000 days' wages. So put this into perspective, okay? When the master gave the servant 1 talent, he gave him over 16 years of wages for a day laborer. Love what Zach said. Anything that we have is a gift from God. As James says, James 1 says, right? Sorry, let me find it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights who does not change like shifting shadows. So even that 1 talent is a lot. And instead of worrying about what other talents and how much God has blessed someone else or given someone else, be thankful for what you have. Because God entrusted you based on your abilities to use that talent for his glory. I think back about when I was a student, which is a long time ago. And I had a lot of insecurities because I was always looking around and going, why can't I be like that person? And then I just thought that was just me being a high schooler. Then I got to college. And then I'm looking around like, God, why couldn't you make me like them? Like, God, they're going to be used by God so much more than I am. And I was angry at God. Then I became a student pastor, and the same thing. Man, God, why can't you bless me like that student pastor? Why can't I have that youth group? Why can't I be at that church? I was never content Because I was always looking at someone else's bag until God reminded me, you have what I've entrusted you with. What are you doing with it? And I ask you, what is it that God has given you? As we begin this school year, as a kid, as a student, as a young adult, as a parent, as an adult, like, what does that mean for you? How can you be used by God? Whether you have one talent or five talents, God has blessed you with something. Are you using it for His glory? It's not about patting yourself on the back. It's not about saying, look how good I am. I go to church every Sunday or most Sundays. I serve when I can. I tell my neighbor about God. And you look and you go, but I don't feel like that's enough. I need more. But the truth is, some of us aren't even doing the simple things. Telling our neighbor, telling our teammate, our classmate, our coworker. Some of us go and live our life as though God hasn't been a part of our life. We complain. We gossip. We don't have joy. Ain't nobody want to be a part of that. But as I mentioned, God is a wise giver. Tells us to be a good steward. But ultimately, we also need to understand that what we have matters less than what we do with it. And that's what I want to encourage you, is whatever God has given you, however God has equipped you, your flaws, your personality, the things that you have and the things that you lack, would you just give that to God? And say, use this. Use this year. Allow me to be a blessing wherever my feet take me. Allow me to be a blessing at my school, at my class, with my team. Allow me to be a blessing at work, with my family, with my neighbors. Use what I have. Again, I think it works perfectly as I was preparing for this as the ministry fair. Some of us have been playing and sitting on the benches for way too long. Or maybe we've retired from it. I don't think you can ever retire from being used by God. What I love, though, is, like, I want you to know, like, even as a staff member, like, this isn't the end-all, be-all. Like, our goal is not for you to sign up for a ministry and be like, sweet, we hit the peak for this person. Honestly, this is just the first step for many. Some of it is just very convenient. It's on Sunday mornings. You're here on Sunday morning. Look at that. Just works out perfectly. There's only a few ministries that actually meet outside of Sunday morning and Wednesday night. So those are just kind of beginner steps. And I want to encourage you, some of you need to go and visit some of those tables. But the beauty is, while you're in service, while you're serving in those ministries, God's going to reveal more and more. Because as He's given you five talents and you've invested and you've grown those five talents, God's now going to give you those extra five talents to go out and do some more. So this year, how is this year going to be different for you? How is this year going to be different for you at school? How is this year going to be different for you at work with your family? I hope and pray that it is different. I hope and pray that as you leave, that was really good. I hope somebody heard him. Hopefully you heard me, right? But I want to end with this, because this was the part that that got to me was verse 25, when the servant says, "I know you, master, so I was afraid, and I hid it on the ground." Which is funny because none of the other servants described his master like that. So ultimately, did that servant know his master? And the answer is no. He didn't know his master because what happens? He's thrown into outer darkness. And so for some of you, serving others, some of you serving for the name of Jesus sounds crazy. And ultimately, it's because you don't know the master. You don't know God. Because when you know God, it changes. When you know God, you want to serve. You desire to serve. You feel like something's missing. And so I would encourage you, before you can look to see how God can use you, get to know the master on a personal level. That, as the Bible says in Romans 5, that even when we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. Because our wages, our sin, was leading us to destruction. But the gift of God is salvation in Jesus Christ. And so I would encourage you, if you're sitting in here and you've never made a personal decision to know God, to know the Master, would you let today be the day? If you guys would bow your head and close your eyes. Father, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for allowing me to know the Master. But Father, I pray for the ones in here that don't know you. Father, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them even after the service, that maybe whoever invited them, whoever brought them here, that they would ask questions. Father, that they would know from Scripture what it means to know you in a personal way, to know that their sins have been forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross and 3 days later. But Father, I also pray for the rest of us in here that know you. And Father, I pray that you would allow us to use our 5, our 2, or our 1 talents. Use it in a mighty way, that instead of looking what we don't have, Father, allow us to focus on what we do have. And that we would truly lay it at your feet and allow you to use us and use those talents, those gifts, those abilities for your glory. That other people would come to a knowing and saving knowledge of you because of how we live our life at school, how we live our life at home, how we live our life at work. That through our life, through our action, through our giving, through our sacrifice, through the opportunities that you provide, that others would know you in a personal way. Father, we love you.